I sighted the microphone from the green light to the speed trap. Ray Greeno and Jody calls them as they seize them, and you better believe them. Here, relevant news, biased opinion, and outright nonsense regarding every aspect of automotive culture. Gasp! It's mechanical trickery never before broadcast over FCC-regulated airwaves. Thrilled to the explosive tension as Ray and Joe cuss each other down track, barrel roll across the finish line, laughing at certain disasters as they shake hands with the devil. All that and so much more at high noon this Sunday on the Motormouth Radio Hour. Call in and speak live with the Wizards of Speed and the Live Eat, Ray Garino and Joe D. Bring the whole family. Kids under 12 get in free every Sunday at noon on WHBC. Take the Hempstead Turnpike to the Meadowbrook Parkway and look for the no parking on the expressway and no express service on the parkway side. Go right on Highway 24 to Garden City. $2 all-day parking includes pit pass.
Oh, yeah, you find that direction. We are rocking and grooving on Motormouth Radio today, Long Island's only automotive talk show.
Always find a way to wake me up.
Yeah, with your host, Ray Guarino, his co-host, Wingman XO, and
the other guy,
man on the bass, Joe D, sitting over here just jamming out to Jackal today. We are having a good time, Joe.
Always. Which always. We ain't even started yet.
We're just getting a groove on now. So, yes, it's going to be a good show.
Yeah, we're going to try. So, what do we got flying through the air this week?
There's airwaves. There's always stuff. You know, I wanted to...
Stuff.
Yeah.
Is that the proper FCC-approved term these days?
It is approved by FCC. Yeah, it's not the one we use, but it is the correct one. there's always stuff, let's face it. There's always crap going on in all worlds. But, you know, if people... if you are listening and you want to delve more into this show, find out more about us, go to our website, motormouthradio.com. Also, visit us. You can follow us on Twitter, which is Motormouth Radio, and Instagram, which is Joe's favorite.
Motormouth Radio.
Right.
Yes.
All the links are on the website. Give us a call in the studio, 516-572-7440. On the website, you can also see the videos we put up, the blogs that we post, and articles, some which we write. Others we curate from other places and comment on. You can join our mailing list where you can get updates about what's going on in our world. We won't inundate you. Don't worry. We don't really kill you with that stuff.
Right.
And you can also...
We don't show you pictures of what we eat, usually.
Right. You can participate. But we do show you pictures of our past cars. And if you participate in the hashtag MMR cars, you can put pictures of your past cars up there and share them with the rest of the community and us. And we'll do the same. And it all becomes a big kumbaya. Automotive moment. I want to tell you about an automotive kumbaya moment that I had this week, Joe, that you're well aware
of. Sorry, left the acoustic in the other room, so, you know, we just have to...
Yeah, right?
Go ahead.
This one still has me scratching my head, because I had to tap the brain trust. I had to go to you on this one, because...
Oh, boy.
Yeah, because I was at a loss.
Desperation.
On Thanksgiving Day, I had my Mazda at the shop, and I took the... I wanted to clean up a battery cable.
Right, yeah.
And I used my redhead connector, which keeps power through the OBD port, so all the memory stays alive. Well, somewhere along the line, that failed to work. So,
gotta watch them redheads.
Yeah, so I lost all the memory, lost the radio presets and all that stuff, which, of course, just reset. And
did it start sparking and try to kill you?
I didn't notice that.
Then maybe it's not really redhead.
Yeah, maybe not, right? Well, the curious thing was, everything came back and went back where it should. But I had, I have a satellite radio that I have in the car that goes into through a 3.5 millimeter jack, and that jack is connected to the back of the radio. It wasn't factory installed. I installed it as per information on the Mazda boards. Now, the satellite radio powered up, and it showed me auxiliary in the display like it should, but I had no volume. So, of course, I checked through the menu, make sure the volume is correct, and turned the volume of the radio up. Yep, nothing. Took the radio into my house and checked it on a dock, and, of course, it worked fine. So, The next thing I did is looked online at some of the Mazda sites I follow, and they said, take the fuse box down, which is under the dash, and check the radio, the 7.5 amp radio fuse, and also the OBD fuse, that wasn't under there. That was under the hood.
Yeah, we had talked about that. Yeah, I kind of shooting from the hip with that one email or that one text. I was like, usually they attach like the keep alive memory to the OBD fuse.
Right.
In a lot of different vehicles, but...
Well, to short track this, the fuses under the dash were good. I checked them, changed it anyway, just to make sure that there might not have been a micro crack. Same thing. Then, through an email, you had told me to check the fuse under the hood in the fuse box there that's labeled room.
Room.
And I'm like, room? I never heard of a room fuse. So I'm thinking, okay, well, maybe they're looking as the cabin of the car as the room.
Yes.
And when I looked up the OBD fuse...
You must learn Japanese.
Yeah. I looked up the OBD fuse in the owner's manual, and in parentheses next to it, it was listed as fuse number 44, OBD, and in parentheses, and other systems. I was like, oh, thanks for being so...
And the cast of thousands. Yeah. Who wrote the thing? Cecil B. DeMille?
Thanks for being so technically inclusive with that, you guys.
See, now you know what you see me yelling at wiring diagrams
right.
all the time. Yeah.
Right. So anyway, I went when I saw your email in the morning that day, I went out to the parking lot, checked that room fuse, and again, it was a little dirty, but it looked good to the eye. But I said, you know what? Let me put a new one in, just in case. And I went into the car, powered it up, boom, and the satellite radio worked. And I said, aha! I said, this fuse doesn't look bad. So what I did, I shut everything down, went back out, put the bad fuse back in, powered it up, and it worked.
RR.
Uh-huh.
Rogic Rock.
Yeah, right? So, like, wait a minute. What the heck is going on? Back to one of the first YouTube videos I looked at. Yes, we do look at those, too.
Oh, yeah, I got a story to tell you about. Go ahead.
The guy who had the problem with his radio being out said he removed the fuse under the dash, waited till everything powered down, put it back in, and the radio worked again. And I was like, get the heck out of here. Exactly what had happened to me, not with the radio, but with the satellite. So, again, if I hadn't had your guidance to that fuse, I would have been stuck. And I'm still scratching my head is why the hell that worked in the first place.
Logic Rock.
I mean, it wasn't a capacitor. I could see if I took the cap out, right?
Logic Lock.
Oh, boy. Let me tell you.
Yeah, it's a thing. As a matter of fact, John Rogers, my shout out to him.
Good old Johnny. How's he doing?
Yeah, he's good. Good. We were text chatting a little bit the other day.
He's good. He's still. He's,
yeah, I know. That's some of the things that we were discussing about. But as a matter of fact, back in the day, certain Chryslers every once in a while would like stop starting. Like going back to like the early 90s, late 80s.
Right.
They had the anti-theft system in it. The primitive, like that used to be hooked up to the door key.
Right.
And you would look in the scan tool, you would see that it would say, you know, fuel denied. And you didn't touch nothing. You didn't do nothing. Maybe you put a battery in the car. You know, something like that, you know. And basically what we started doing on the, you know, Johnny, I guess knowing him, he figured this out. You take the battery cables off, you hook them together for a couple minutes, go have a cup of coffee, come back, done.
Wow.
And the term for that is called Logic Lock.
Okay.
And it shows up from time to time, and as Jim has just pointed out, when in doubt, reboot. But this is more like you kick it. It's not just reboot. Reboot implies you just kind of lace it up. No, this is a good, solid, swift kick in the case.
Yeah, because if you think about it, like in my case, when the battery was disconnected, that did constitute a reboot.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what you do if you want to clear your memory. Hey, I mean, the battery, put it back in.
You know, like sometimes they do. We had a Chevy Cruze. Then all of a sudden, the heater control, you know, the AC controls didn't work. And we did Roger Rock.
Nice.
And then, sure enough, let's see, what else did we do? It comes in handy from time to time. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Now, where did you find the info in my case on that room fuse? Because you obviously had a pathway that I didn't have.
The wiring diagram.
Okay, you went to a wiring diagram.
I don't
have any wiring diagrams for that car.
Didn't I give you one? Well, basically.
I really haven't needed them, thankfully.
Right. First of all, what I noticed is that, you see, there's two approaches I take when it comes to wiring diagrams, depending on the car company. You know, some car companies, like, say, GM, Ford, Chrysler, they pretty much, everything is in English, in, you know, power at the top, ground at the bottom, you know, little symbols that make sense, like for switches and sensors and whatnot. And then you have the Germans and the Japanese.
Right.
And the the Mazda diagrams are pretty much a bunch of little stick figures that look a lot like that writing that they use.
Yeah, right.
So I grab, you know, that's all data, because all data pretty much gives you the factory diagram. So I went over to Mitchell. And, you know, like I said, power at the top, ground at the bottom, and they say next to each fuse, hot with the key on, hot at all times,
nice,
hot in whatever, blah, blah, blah. And the one that you were talking about, that 7.5-amp fuse, was only hot with the key on. I'm like, so who cares?
Right, right.
Who gives a flying Wallender?
Mm-hmm.
So at that point, I said, oh, look at this, the room fuse. So that one's hot at all times. Nobody else is hot at all times. Right. If I was going to have Roger Grock, that's where I was going to go.
There you go. Okay. Well, there's the expertise level, and people need to know this.
That's just experience. That's just been there, done that, got the teeth marks on my left
and
one.
And that's the expertise level, because yep. You have been there. Now, I hadn't been there, so I didn't know that. I know it now. But, it still is... It just goes to show you that, you know, weird things happen, and the thing to do is not to go to DEF CON 4 and just start throwing a parts cannon at it and changing everything.
Cock the shotgun.
Yeah, step back and say, okay, something may be going on here more than I'm aware of and more than I have the information for. So let's do some more, let's do an information search and look for more diagnostics.
Right. Well, yeah, that's what you do. You do a little bit of checking around before you cock the shotgun there.
Yeah.
Because that gets expensive. It gets.
Oh, it can.
And also, you waste a lot of time in an environment where you're actually getting paid for this stuff. It's just like,
right.
You just get your butt handed to you. You know what I mean? So it's one of them deals where it pays to do a little bit of reading.
Yeah.
You know,
I want to cover something, get this in before the break. I did some reading. I was supposed to break this week ago. I never got to it because we were busy. This is from the classiccars.com journal. Corky Coker, you know, from Coker Tires.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He sold the company.
He did.
Yeah, it says here the management team of Coker Group has purchased the company from its founding family. The company announced back in November, from a local tire shop. Coker Tire grew under the Harold Coker and his sons Corky, into the leading provider of new tires for classic vehicles. Bronk was talking about that when he talked about old cars a week ago.
Right.
Corky and his children will retain ownership of the Honest Charlie Speed Shop and Chestnut properties, but the sale does include Coker Tire, Wheel Vintiques, Universal Vintage Tire, Phoenix Race Tires, and the Specialty Wheel and Roadster Wire Wheel brands.
Wow. Okay. So they'll still be with us, and it's probably pretty much the same people and whatnot.
Well, Wade Kawasaki, who has been Coker, Ben Coker president and the CEO for 5 years, he's moving up when Corky officially retires. When he retired in 2014, I'm sorry, Corky stepped back already, and Wade had moved up. So they say the collector car market is evolving, and with the current surge in interest in 70s, 80s, and even 90s vehicles, no one is better suited to expand the company strategically than Wade, who has always had a deep appreciation for these vehicles. So it was an internal thing, and the company's in good hands. So
that's great, because it's not some conglomerate where the guy goes, you know, now they have some VP or whatever in charge of it. Oh, that's those round rubber things, right?
Right, right.
Right, yeah, okay, then... Yeah, and we're supposed to... We'll use a little less steel in them. It's okay.
Yeah.
We don't... You know, who cares about that stuff?
It won't matter, right?
Yeah, right.
No, this was a well-thought-out move, and obviously the right people are involved, and it's going to be a seamless transfer.
This car guy is still involved. That's good to know, because they were always a good company.
Absolutely.
We've had them on a number of times, and it was always a great conversation.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. It's, just like, we got to look to our friends again from Vogue Tire. You mentioned them just before. You made a comment out in the green room. You mentioned Vogues and Spokes.
Yeah, well, that's because Swizz got a little happy there with the put a shaker hood scoop on an old Firebird formula. What, are you kidding me?
Which I found out in Michigan. We had friends in Michigan who talked on the show, and in Ohio, too. Lewis Lee from Ohio, and check him out at allendsmag.com and Playing in Traffic. In Ohio, they called it Spokes and Vogues, and we called it Vogues and Spokes. They put the spoke in front of the Vogue. We put the tire first.
Yeah, it's... they all kind of come together. It's, you know, yeah, when the spokes meet the rubber, or the rubber meets the road. Hey, well, let's put it this way: you can't have one without the other.
That's right. Yeah, absolutely.
You know, because it's either that, or you get either a lot of sparks or a lot of a very big lack of power transmission to the road.
Yes, you got that right.
The rubber's got to meet the road with something.
Well, I tell you what,
drivetrain.
Speaking of rubber and your dirty little mind, we're going to go. We're going to take a break here on Motor Mouth Radio, and we'll take care of a little business, and we'll be back in a few. Keep it where you got it on 90.3 WHPC.
Dirty little mind, dirty little mind, dirty little mind.
This show is brought to you by Forest Hill Stadium, who welcomes Weird Al Yankovic, a rock and comedy symphonic experience featuring the Queen Symphony Orchestra on Saturday, July 20th, 2019. More information can be found at ForestHillStadium.com.
This program is brought to you by NYCB Live, home of the NASA Veterans Memorial Coliseum, who presents the original Harlem Globetrotters on December 28th. More information can be found online at NYCBLive.com.
This is Dennis Pitzenberger from Sticker Shock, and if you're not listening to Motor Mouth Radio, boy, you are lost in the smoke of the burnout. Make sure to tune in each and every week, because these guys are exactly what you want to hear. Real car guys, real talk. Every single weekend.
There we are. We're exemplifying Joe's dirty little mind today here on Motor Mouth Radio. You didn't hear that one coming, did you?
Okay, now I got to change the screen that I'm on here. You can't look at this. No.
This has gotten to be the highlight of my week, is a segue into
There's
a break.
Some hood scoops you got there, honey.
Yeah, right. There you go. Sometimes it's the little things in life, Joe, that just make your day. This is one of the things that just makes my day.
Yeah.
What can I tell you?
I never know what, you know, folks, I never know what Ray's going to have queued up.
Neither do I.
So, yeah, well, the thing is that you're at least a button push ahead of me. So
true. Well,
like,
that was...
Oh, cool!
Yeah.
You know, so it's always a pleasant surprise, and hopefully you guys out there enjoy this too, because it's kind of cool. You never know what comes out of Ray's head.
I would hope that people like it.
Off his turntable, out of his head.
Right,
you know.
Right. Yeah, yeah. I would hope that people like it, but that's going back to the, that's, of course, Jackal from 92, and I gotta tell you something. Oh, I have to show you something.
Oh. Okay, folks, I'm going to have to point the microphone at Ray, because this is, you know, no, that doesn't work.
There is a song coming up later called The Lumberjack, and what they do is they'll actually, you know what, a certain bar stool will get actually eviscerated Jesse Dupree is the lead singer from Jackal.
Jackal.
And what he does is he will chainsaw a bar stool.
Really? Cool. All right. Good to know. We have...
That is an actual bar stool that he chainsawed in front of me at Revolution out in Amityville.
Oh, that's right, when you were there.
A couple of years ago.
Wow. So chainsaw, huh?
There's your wood block. And you can see the chainsaw grooves in there, yeah.
Whoa. Yeah. This guy doesn't talk around.
Oh, no, he doesn't play around.
Yeah, that's definitely some... That's some shredding there of one kind or another.
Talk about some good old-fashioned rock and roll.
Yeah, I always like to have... I definitely like to have music that... After which I say for the next three days, what? You said what? Yeah, I really end up having to learn sign language.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
Aside from the usual New York area ones, you know, the actual ones that you use to communicate ideas or whatever. Besides the day to day stuff, which is usually tends to be a bit confrontative.
Right.
But you know, we're past that. You know, right?
Exactly.
I wave.
Yeah, that's good.
I smile. You know.
So. You know, speaking of that and that kind of stuff, anything new go on at the UD this week? Was there any kind of cool stuff happening there?
Well, it wasn't exactly cool.
Okay.
The Trailblazer that started off as a simple ground issue. You know, then we had some other stuff that had tracked down a misfire. Okay, no big deal. Fixed the headlight, which was just a connector that corroded off. But rather than run a new harness... I just like found out in my stash of terminals with the right color wire. I just ran one terminal in there,
okay,
which saved from hacking up the harness. Same thing with the ABS on the left side, because the motor, when it was put in, some of the harnesses got disturbed.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, so that one got yanked on and pulled out of the connector, which I managed to salvage in the same method.
Okay.
Which is good because, if you get yourself a couple of terminal removal tools and a little bit of practice on some bad ones first, you can fix a lot of stuff without having to go buy, $30 and $40 connector kits and whatnot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then,
you have to go through all the misery of splicing and all that other stuff, and they usually give you an extra 5 feet of wire, so then you got to cut it and figure out the right length and all that good stuff. So
right,
that. But then I was like, oh, look at this! It's got a power steering leak.
Oh boy,
yeah, we should, we really shouldn't let the car out like that. Now, Trailblazers have a problem with the two lines they go over the driver's side shock tower. I mean, and these hoses are legendarily bad to change. They're a regular ripping pain in the you-know-what.
Mm-hmm.
So I went through YouTube, and I saw a couple of quick fixes.
Okay.
You know what I mean? And I was like, basically they're surrounded by this little rubber vibration dampener thingy, which I took off. And as soon as I took it off, the one hose started doing its imitation of a racehorse.
Oh, boy.
And I was like, okay, now we can't let the car... I was like, So... We tried the YouTube fix twice. We ended up having to wash the floors of the UD.
Oh no!
Which, there are words that some of the words that were expressed to me were because of this. I mean, would make Deadpool blush.
I believe.
And if you ever seen Deadpool, some of his creative curses are absolutely legendary.
Uh-huh.
And the boys outdid themselves.
I'm sure it was Johnny on first and foremost, right?
Oh, well, yeah. Let's put it this way. We also know that the paint started curling up off the floor, so at that point. But, they let me live. You know what I mean?
Live to spill another day.
There you go. That's it. And
stuff happens, It's...
Yeah, I know, but it was basically Johnny had said, let me fix it. And I was like, no, I saw this video on YouTube. Let me try this. It's a couple of fins, blah, blah, blah. A little pipe cutter action, but wrong.
Okay.
So, by the way, if you're out there listening, a shout out to the boys in the UD, especially Johnny, because he concocted, without having to take the lines out, he concocted two properly flared, properly high pressure flared fittings in their place that ain't going nowhere.
Okay.
You know what I mean? And. Basically, that I kind of stayed out. Well, I had a couple jobs to do, so I didn't get to the UD for a couple days. And when I came back, I was like, holy crap, look at this. He's amazing.
Yeah.
We call him he's called the wrench.
Mm-hmm.
He deserves it.
Great affection.
Definitely. He's the wrench. Doug for watching over the whole thing, and he just kind of keeps us all kind of sort of in line.
Uh-huh.
He's the den mother. Some kind of mother, but
The Papa Bear.
Yeah, pretty much.
Carries the big stick.
Yeah, and somehow he makes it all work. So, again, my affectionate shout out to the guys there.
Absolutely.
That was because the electrical stuff, I blew through.
Yeah.
I mean, I actually, I took the thing on a little bit of a danger drive yesterday. It was getting dark, so we had some other stuff going on. I also had a minivan heat issue that I was screwing with. We took it on a danger drive, and I traced down another false activation due to funky wheel bearings. What I mean on this thing. But wiring harnesses, no problem. That kind of stuff. But keep me away from wrenches and stuff these days. Unfortunately, I hate to say it, especially when I'm in the presence of greatness of some of the guys there.
I got to tell you, the other thing I've been involved with at the shop has been both. It's been involved wiring harnesses and fluid. I've been still just fighting with that snow plow.
Oh, yeah, that thing.
We were discussing it before the show. I was showing you some of the diagrams. And,
right.
I took the power probe to it yesterday and still have not got it to work.
I would have took the axe to it. God bless you.
It's not mine. It's, I got to fix this thing. That's my job.
Yeah,
and I've come down to the fact of like what you had thought in short order, that it's either a hydraulic issue in that block or I'm thinking there may be an incompatibility between the controller and the unit because there is a newer and an older system that have been mated together. So,
Yes, they have not shaken hands. There is no logic to lock.
it locks partially. The other thing is I can get it to do some of the... You know, I could get it to do something, but not everything that it should. So that's the frustrating part. The real frustrating part is, even with the manuals I've downloaded, there's really no diagnostics. There's not much at all. So I'm kind of on my own.
Ah, so it's kind of Japanese, huh?
Yeah, speaking of being on our own, let's go to the phones and say hi. You're on with us, the Motormouths.
Good morning, Motormouths. It's Tom from Massapequa. How you doing?
Hey, Tom, what's happening?
What's up, Tom?
Hey, guys. Ray, first of all, I love all your interaction and everything you offer. Sometimes you bring up some interesting stuff, so thanks a lot.
Oh, you're welcome, Tom. It's just...
And Joe, your insight into electrical frequencies just is amazing.
Well, yeah, that's what happens. When I was a kid, there was this, like, I bought a knife, and you know, the rest is history.
So I have two topics I want to bring up. One, music. I saw Vanilla Fudge at my father's place on Friday night.
Oh, yeah.
Very, very good.
Excellent.
Have you guys know anything about Vanilla Fudge?
Well, yeah. Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Yeah.
Besides the ice cream.
And we like it on our ice cream. That's
yes,
right.
Yes. But I was more familiar with the original line.
Right.
Because, like, Carmine and Tim.
Right.
Local boys. As a matter of fact, Tim is one of my bass guitar heroes.
Yeah, yeah.
And Carmine was my when I was in my band days, he was my drummer's drum instructor.
Okay.
And yeah, I actually got to lean up against his Pantera a couple times.
Ah, cool.
So yeah, I know them pretty good. They're a kick ass band, man.
Yeah, the Carmine was there. I think Tim is the guy missing, the bass player.
Tim's kinda retired or whatever, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Carmine and Mark and this other guy. Now, honestly, I didn't know much about them. I just knew that Carmine is a legend and that they were... Anyway, I really enjoyed the show, and I thought I'd share that. If it comes up again, if they play again, I recommend that some people might check it out if they have any interest.
Sure.
And it's amazing, the performance. Carmine did like a 20-minute solo.
Oh, yeah.
Which sounded amazing and looked cool. And the guy's 72 years old or something. He's an old
he's got a good couple of years on me, I know that. So, yeah, he's probably in his like late 60s, early 70s. That makes sense.
No, he's literally told me. I spoke to him. He's 72? Soon. No
wow.
Kidding. Yeah, and even the other guys, Mark Steiner, and the lead guitar player actually played in the Good Rats after Vanilla Fudge broke up. This guy, Mark May, not Mark, whatever his name is. He's a
right.
Bronx guy.
Yeah, yeah. The name escapes me at the moment, too, but...
Yeah, they were very, very good. It's unbelievable.
Very good.
All right, so that's our music thing.
Okay.
Back in the day, in the late 70s or mid 70s, my buddy made a V8 Vega, and we had a lot of fun with it. I'd like to ask your listening audience... Could they share any stories about overpowered, lightweight cars from back in the day? I'd love to hear some insight into that.
Sure.
Yeah, well, now you threw it out. That's the thing. Let's
overpowered small cars, yeah.
Yeah. Hey, you know what you can do, Tom? Throw that up on our Facebook page and put the plea out for people to respond back, and we'll see what comes back to us.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll try and do that. Again, I'm a little bit of a electronically handicapped, but I will try to do it either on Insta, or on Facebook.
All right, good.
Sounds
excellent.
Good.
Nice talking to you guys. Enjoy the day.
All right,
thanks,
Tom.
Thanks, man. Appreciate the call.
All right. Always good to hear from our buddy Tom.
Yeah. Overpowered, because, I mean, I got one word for that. Cobra.
Oh, sure.
Whether the genuine article or a well-done replica.
Doesn't matter.
Holy crap.
At least those cars were low and designed a little bit more racetrack friendly than, say, a V8 in a Pinto or a Vega, where the car probably had hijackers in the back to boot.
Right, yes.
You know?
Been in both of them. I mean, pretty much a Cobra, it's kind of like somebody... Yeah, somebody put really good wheels on your Creeper.
Yeah.
And then tied you to the back bumper, and you just, like, hang on.
Yeah.
Try to keep all bodily fluids contained within yourself.
Right.
And enjoy. So, yeah, it's a rip and a half, you know what I mean?
Yes.
And then the other stuff, that was a little bit more entertaining in a Six Flags Great Adventure type of way.
Yeah, yeah, music.
Because now it's like, am I going straight? Am I ever going to go straight?
Right.
But at least you just got to smell rubber.
Oh yeah, hell yeah! And especially if you had side pipes, you were really cooking with gas. It was good stuff.
Yeah, gas being the operative word here.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I got to say, you know, one of our favorites, gas. Iron, metal, the whole thing. You got to listen to the Iron Age Saturdays at 11 p.m. It gives you the very best variety of heavy metal that there is in the world. Old and new, fast or slow, super heavy or calm and catchy, the Iron Age has your fix. Hosted by Justin Sullivan. We're going to play his promo in a second because we are going to take a break, Joe.
Yeah.
And, you know, you look outside today, it's. I was wondering when's it going to be sunny, but we were thinking like, yesterday I was thinking, boy, when's it going to start to rain?
Yeah, right, exactly.
And it did. So let's take a break and see, and we'll be back with more
All
Motor Mouth Radio.
In their time.
Right, 90.3 WHPC.
That's like crazy loud music. What are you listening to?
The best music on the radio. Come on, this is the Iron Age.
The what age?
The Iron Age, the show that brings you various types of heavy metal music from all over the spectrum.
Really? I've never heard of it. How do you know so much about it?
I'm the host.
Wait, if you're the host, how are you driving this car and on the radio at the same time?
Come on, don't ask so many questions. The Iron Age with me, Justin Sullivan, delivers the best variety of heavy metal music that you could ever ask for. Only on the Iron Age will you find music as ridiculously heavy as Meshuggah and Oceana, along with chill and relaxing tunes like Tool and Deftones.
Well, that sounds cool and all, but I think I'm just going to listen to something else.
Ooh, I think that's going to be a problem. I think you're going to have to find another ride then.
What?
Coming up at 12 o'clock today, Sunday, Motor Mouth Radio, Ray Guarino, Joe D, talking about cars. And like I said, you don't have to know anything about cars to enjoy the show. People watch cooking shows, don't know how to cook. People watch those home repair shows, they don't know how to fix anything. So Motor Mouth Radio is the same thing. Think about it that way.
Yes, when we'll stop raining, because that's what we're waiting for, Joe. It's been
right in time for work to start tomorrow. I've been off a couple 3 days, so
yeah,
it was
yeah.
pretty good. But back to the office, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, you got. And when you go back, it's back to what awaits you on the email boards and all the stuff that's going to
be fun. But you know what? Sometimes it's worth it to just get the heck out of there for a little while.
Oh yeah.
So you have people, you know, you. Some of those questions and some of the things people want you to do, it's like, no, I will not have the guy, the shop foreman at the assembly plant shot because he made your friggin' carburetor float wrong.
Yeah, right.
No, sorry, it's not to that point yet. You know what I'm saying?
Let's get to this point and see what's happening on the phones and say hi. You're on with the Motor Mouths.
Hello, Professor Ray. Hello, Joey D. How you doing, guys?
It's the big man. What's happening, Howie?
Thank you, man. Things are going good. How you guys doing?
Nice.
Yeah, we're here doing a show, living a dream. You know what I mean? Right out of the rain. So how bad can it be?
You got that raspy voice, Joe. I mean, I saw last night Bob Dylan in the Beacon Theater in
New York City.
Yeah, I know.
You texted me at like friggin' midnight. Thank you very much.
Wow, everybody was out. What good, you know, good music, huh? Except us.
You know, it probably was late because you were asleep.
Yeah, I was out friggin' cold. You know, like some of us were like under cars and, you know, getting zapped or burned or whatever. Oh, by the way, Jim says hi.
Boy, okay, good.
You know, I was going to say, Tom's seeing Vanilla Fudge. Howie's seeing Dylan. You know, it's like, was there anyone in the back going like this?
Whoa.
And then
these guys
in June,
are the kings of rock. There is none higher.
Wow.
Cool.
Wow. And in June, I'm going to see the Rolling Stones.
Really?
Oh, okay.
You know, come on, guys. It's, you know, these musicians are in their 70s. Like, I think 77 was Bob Dylan.
The Steel Wheelchairs Tour.
probably right, Professor.
Right?
You know, when are they going to sing again? You know, maybe the last time.
Right, right.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Wow, they're still going.
God bless them.
And still going strong. Bob Dylan was singing very well.
Well, it all depends on if you like people who sing like this.
They would talk when they sing, and then they want to just stab yourself
Dylan's
in
good.
The eye.
Oh. Yeah, Dylan's one of the
I've never
great...
been a big fan.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's not much not much shredding and stuff, but no,
but I do
he's
know...
quite the poet laureate of our generation.
Oh, don't get me wrong. I do like some folk rock stuff, the stuff Steve Kay plays. He plays some cool stuff on Revelations. Some of it I really like. He did a lot of Dylan the other week. I was like, But a good friend, our friend Bob Belfi from Rolling Thunders, he's passed a few years now, but Bob was a huge Dylan fan, and you know what it was? He just got into it. It just spoke to him, and you could see, that's what it takes to be into someone like that. And
right.
I just never, like I said, some of it, but yeah. It was, Howie, what's your favorite Dylan pieces, your songs?
Oh, yeah, Rolling Stone.
Of course,
Mr. Tambourine Man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is probably my favorite.
He's got some definitely landmark milestone type stuff over there.
You know, I really like the Ballad of Hurricane Carr, that whole thing from the 70s.
Yeah.
That one I liked. Isis was another good song off that album. Stuff I liked. But whatever. Yeah. Well, at least you had a good time.
But it is, we're getting into the winter season. Hope everybody is winterizing, checking the oil, changing the oil, putting the covers on, wrapping these cars.
It's funny you mention that, Howie. Have you been to our website to see the winterizing video that we put up?
Yeah.
I have not. I must, got to show it to the girls.
Go to motormouthradio.com, and as you scroll down after the current show in our Faccia pictures, you'll see there is a video of that we put together of winterizing tips. It's not all-inclusive, but it does cover the major... And actually, Bill Lindsay from StarTron mentioned it the other day in a post, so he's actually promoting it, too, because we mentioned StarTron in the video.
Yeah.
So,
wow.
Check it out. I think you'll like it.
I'll check it out. Should I wear sunglasses when I watch it? It may be very bright.
You should always wear sunglasses, yes, because you look so good in them.
Yes, you do look cool in them.
All right, man. Hey, guys, enjoy the day. Don't get wet, and happy motoring.
All right, Howie.
Thanks, man. You too.
Thanks. Talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
So long. The big man, who I'm sure will be attending every holiday party that every club has on the
Absolutely.
Island.
Absolutely, yeah. You'll never see. I love when he shows up with the antlers.
right.
He's you can't miss him. You got if he shows up at your car club party, anybody out there listening, by all means, grab a snapshot. Please send it to us. We should have a big man Hall of Fame folder with his various modes of dressage over there.
I do have a folder on my computer with Howie from different car shows. Over the years, I've collected some photos of Howie.
Yeah, because let's put it this way, there's no mistaking him in a crowd.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Hell no. That, he shows up in his Sunbird or whatever there.
Yeah, in a caddy or whatever, yeah.
Yeah, he's always there, and between the car and what do you call that? Couture?
Right?
There's no mistaking the big man.
Absolutely.
And that's one reason why we love him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm. Plus, he comes up with some good stuff.
Phenomenally good stuff. You're absolutely right about that. But, I was going to talk. I'm getting too ahead of myself. I'm going to talk about what's coming up in the future. I'm going to save that for the last segment. We have a few guests.
Yeah, because, it's not time for the last segment yet.
No, it's not. No.
You got some place to go? You hungry? You want to...
Yeah, a little bit. I am a little... We made a big pot of grits this morning. I like my southern grits.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
My niece sends them to me from South Carolina, so they're actual palmetto, stone ground South Carolina grits. So I made a big pot of those. My wife made a few poached eggs. We threw them on top. Pot of coffee.
Right. Jeez.
Away you go.
Yeah, that's... I had a piece of toast.
Well, sometimes that's what you got to do. Grab and go,
Yeah, I'm also on the tail end of, my teeth not being in my head.
Yeah,
so
you see the grits, you don't have to chew them.
Oh, yeah, that's true,
It's like, swallow, done.
Yeah, except I don't know anybody who could ship me grits, you know what I mean? I'm not a... I don't have that many... I have people down south that I know, but, You know, that I should hit one of them. I know somebody I can hit up for grapes.
I can get you some. Don't worry. If you,
cool.
If you, it takes a little time to make them if you make them right. It's about a 20 to 30 minute ordeal. But it's not a bit, you know.
In my kitchen?
as you're doing other stuff, whatever. Let's go back to the phones and we'll say, hi, you're on with the Motor Mouths.
Hey, fellas. How you doing today? It's a rainy day.
Cliff, what's happening?
Cliff.
Nothing. I just laughing. I was listening to you when you first came on, and I got to say, and I'm not taking away from your mechanical skills, Ray, because they are huge, but I got to tell you, Joe is like an ER doctor, man.
Oh, hell yeah.
He is the diagnostician, if that's the word. But I love the whole story about that.
Too kind.
Mark Room. You know, that's hysterical.
Somebody
in Japan just, you know.
Right.
It didn't come through in the abbreviation. You know?
Yeah, they. Why? They,
I mean,
just,
in the translation.
Forget. Right. Well, I actually have a diagram that I actually took a screenshot and I cut it out and it's on my wall. It said, you know, it's for AC system on some Japanese car, and it was Brower Motor, B-R-O-W-E-R.
Brower.
Right. And this is like one of those. It was a Geo. So it was like a Chevy.
It's like out of the Donnie Brasco movie.
Right.
Yeah.
Right,
exactly.
Right.
Yeah. No. You got to understand how like the different car company engineers think. Let's face it. You know, it's another thing that you have to be able to interpret. You know. So.
Yeah.
It's another skill besides being able to read a meter or scan data or stuff like that. You know what I mean? Like how the different car companies act. That reminds me. I got to tell the story of the battery drain on the Honda there.
Okay.
You know, but thank you.
But,
that's too kind.
No,
of
I just laugh it. I just great show as usual, guys.
Thank you so much.
Well, let me ask you this,
Ray. You sound a little tired. I heard you yawning there.
Yeah, you know you know what happens. I guess, I don't know, I am, I'm not. You start this show, and there's this huge expanse of energy that comes out that you don't even realize. And then after about 15, 20, 30 minutes, you kind of like... You get like a little lull, you go, wow, boy, that took a little bit out of me.
Blaze of glory.
Yeah, and then you got to go some more. So what do you think, Cliff, what are your takes on the season 10, the new season of Graveyard Cars with Mark?
You know, I was going to tell you, whether you love or hate that guy, because I know that there's that whole element out there, you know, with his, dramatics in his show. But I have to tell you that shop is set up every time I watch it. It's like he did the dashboard tester the other day.
Yeah.
And I have to say, he explained everything on that test board that he did. Like, he has that whole, came up with that whole thing where you attach the dash to that like holder and has all the, you test all your gauges before it goes in the car, and
right,
and even how he set up like whatever it was, resistors or whatever, vacuum, whatever it needed to, like,
yeah.
he has a gas tank,
the float,
you know, a float and, float and, set up sender unit on there, and I have to say, man, the guy is really OCD with that stuff.
I know. And that's what I was thinking. No, when I watched that, I thought it was a great idea. But when he did that, I said, why did he go and mount a whole sending unit and float? He could have used a rheostat.
Right.
Because that's how I test them. I test them like that. I substitute a rheostat that's a known value.
Yeah.
But he did. He made a standalone test bench. And he gets the dashes from, who is it, Classic Industries, I think he said?
Classic Industries. They do a beautiful job. And even from the beginning, a couple of seasons, I mean, I think his machine that he even tests the motors on even became better.
The motor runs.
He's one of the first guys I saw that had that machine way back, and I think he's even has like a better one now. And I have to say, he's got it kind of set up with his attitude or his mindset was to almost set up the whole shop or the whole restoration area as sort of like an assembly line type. You know, like I like the way it goes from one room to another room. You know, like the assembly room is different than the painting area, and the bodywork probably starts way out at the beginning.
Yeah,
that's probably right. Yeah, I would say that's a good way to do it.
Lined up.
The thing that gets me is, like with most all the other shows you see, these guys will get an engine and it'll be either a crate engine or it'll be built from a builder, and it never runs when they get it. They put it in a car, it doesn't start, the timing is off, it's popping.
Yeah.
I'm like, wait a minute. Did the engine builder or the manufacturer who built this crate engine, did they run it? Well, yeah, of course they did. So what did they do then? They reset the distributor wrong and sent it out? Get the heck out of here.
Yeah. I don't know. To me, it just means never, ever worked.
There you go. Joe on the woodblock.
Yeah. Let's face it.
You know, I like it, though. I like the show. I mean, I watched that other show, Garage Squad, last night, and they were doing a 70 Barracuda convertible.
Right. Oh, yeah. I caught a couple minutes of that with the woman. Yeah.
Yeah, and they were, like, spraying the engine compartment.
Yeah.
But you could see the car was originally blue because they were taking away the engine compartment paint. And,
right.
And I was like, it is nice that they're getting the car running, but they were putting a lot of work into it for, like, somebody's going to restore that car. They're going to end up tearing apart everything they did anyway.
Right, exactly.
So how do you put a car together in 2 days?
But I think, I think the thing was just to get that those cars back on the road, and drive them, right.
I really think there's a tanker truck with coffee that
Heather Storm's not bad to look at either.
And I'll tell you, you know, I'll go on record as saying Joe Zolper is not my favorite guy on TV. I just want to like smack him in the face. I don't know.
Yeah, but
my opinion.
Yeah, I know. Sometimes, yeah, but he gets his crap done. You know what
I
mean?
Yeah, I know. I know.
Yep. Let's face it, it's a results driven situation there. But I want to hang in.
This season is nice. I like it, you know, and. As long as I like he sticks to the real technical stuff and explains, you know, everything from, you know, block sanding to bolts. I like all that stuff. You
Well, Cliff, I have to tell you then, a week from today on December 9th, our guest on the phone is Mr. Mark Warman from Graveyard Cars.
Yeah.
So next week,
very nice.
You will hear. And if you and Cliff, I extend the invitation. We don't do this for many people, but if you want to come and sit in the studio with us, I've been asking that for a couple of years. You've always been busy, but you could participate and talk to Mark on the phone if you like. So
yeah. I appreciate it.
Just let me know.
Next Sunday. Yep. Otherwise, I'll be sending you a list of questions.
I know, like always. Yeah. It's easier if you come in, truthfully. But yeah. So that's that.
But, awesome.
All right.
It seems like he's driving a 71 Cuda, but I kind of noticed, is it a 392 motor in there? He's got
the green one.
That green one, that sassy green.
Yes, I do believe that's the car they built with the late model Hemi, the crate Hemi, and something happened with the car. It didn't get sold or it didn't get transferred like it was supposed to, and I think Mark kept it.
Because I thought they were going to do that, but then they ended up doing like a Daytona or a Superbird.
Right.
They ended up for SEMA. And
right.
So I saw him, he's driving, he looks like he's driving it into work, so maybe he's keeping it for himself. It looks pretty cool.
Yeah, definitely.
Anyways, great show as usual, guys.
All right,
thank you.
Thanks.
Enjoy it.
Talk to you soon.
Cool.
So long. All right, we'll see if we can. Maybe we'll get Cliff in here next week.
Yeah, well, I mean, with the Mr. Mark Warren show, yeah, we got to have one of our many Mopar aficionados,
yeah,
connoisseurs.
So what we're gonna do is we're gonna take our last break. You need to wind up that woodblock because you and Jesse Dupree are gonna start up that chainsaw, and there it goes, Joe. There you go. We're going to check this out on 90.3 WHPC.
Shake off the realities of the day, broaden your musical horizons, and embrace the diversity every Monday afternoon at 6 on Revelations. The show offers a potently unique collection of music with an emphasis on themes and rock rarities. An occasional tour de force of blues and soul mixed with compelling sets of folk and folk rock. I'm Steve Kay, and I've got the perfect soundtrack for your drive home every Monday afternoon at 6 on Revelations. Right here on the voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC. Please stay tuned for Motor Mouth Radio on Sundays at 12 noon, every Sunday, exclusively on WHPC. Join the Motor Mouths, Ray Guarino and Joe D. Features, information, guest interviews, tech tips, and all your call-in questions on all topics relating to automobiles. And these guys know their stuff. In case you haven't heard this show, not only is it very informative, it is hilarious at times. A lot of call-ins and a lot of crazy people calling in with problems with their cars. And, okay, Joe and Ray offering their expert opinion on these things and doing it in a somewhat comical fashion.
Hey, you in the car? Yeah, you. You're a fan of the music of Sly Stone. I know you are. No reason to hide it. You've probably been looking for a radio program that highlights his music. Well, then look no further. Let me introduce myself. I am DJ Solero. That's soul followed by air and an O. Solero. Well, never mind about that. Back to what we're both here to talk about. The Sly Stone Show features the music of Sly through the various artists who have covered and sampled his music, and I'll be playing some of the original music that helped impact a generation. Come on, I know you're looking for some feel-good music, so just keep your radio right here for the Sly Stone Show. And you might want to think about cleaning up your car before we start. This thing is nasty. Oh, back to what's important. It's the Sly Stone Show, now at a brand new time, live, Sunday afternoons at 4 p.m. on the Voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC.
Bring it home, Joe. Bring it home.
Yeah!
Rev up that McCullough. Let's go.
Well, this is the only radio show we need to take it down. We like it. A lot of exertion, you know?
Hit the high note.
No, guess not. Not today. Yeah! All right. Now we need a friggin' throat doctor.
There you go. Thank you so much. You need a lozenge.
Yeah, a lozenge.
That was the lumberjack from
our friends. I'll just sell some water right about now.
Our good old friend Jesse Dupree from Jackal.
Damn, son.
So, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention, I did say already when Cliff was on that we are going to have Mr. Mark Warman on the show next week.
Yes.
Which is great. And then the following week, we're going to go back to the local roots of Long Island racing.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mr. Rusty Becker. I know you don't know that. You probably don't know his name, but he was involved in the Long Island Karting Association back in the 70s.
Oh, yeah, okay. And, well, now, yeah. Long Island Karting.
And
yeah,
they
right.
used to race all around the tri-state and outer state areas. It was very big back in the day, and I do believe that it has disbanded. But they got together. They got back together, some of the guys that are still around. And Rusty has a very old, very historically significant, correct go-kart, as well as as well as another one he can drive around. A cheetah, I believe it is.
Right.
So when he brought it out, he took it out to a meet, and they I think it was up in Epping. And the problem was it was like a day like this where they did some practice runs, because they actually run the carts like when they do it in NASCAR. They'll run the cars to actually dry the track.
Right.
But it never really got dry enough to fully race. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and these guys now, they're getting like us. They're getting up there. They're in the 60s and in that range. And they're, they had a gentleman's agreement not to, you know, bump each other or run each other off the track. Because, first of all, the carts, a lot of them are older and historic, and they're, you know, like
their drivers.
Like the drivers. Well, let's face it. If the cart goes off the track and got mangled, it'd be hard enough to fix that because it's an older thing. You can't get parts off the shelf. The driver gets mangled, it's even harder because they don't make parts for us anymore.
Oh, no. That stuff's definitely on the discontinued list.
So, Rusty.
Actually, not discontinued. Absolutely.
Exactly. So, Rusty's going to be coming in on the 16th. And we're going to talk all about Long Island karting.
That sounds like fun. Yeah. That,
you know, Christian's a guy. Christian's one of those guys. I know he plays with small engines. And he's a little two-stroke action. He's going to be into that.
So, yeah. I remember there was quite a bit of karting back in like the 60s and the 70s. I was witness to one of my neighborhood guys, friends, who had an older brother that was into it.
In Cunningham Park?
No, actually, we never went there. We were more like the World's Fair parking lot.
Oh, there you
remember,
go.
Remember in Whitestone there, when that stuff laid fallow for a long time. We would just go down there and test drive it. And then there were times that there were races out in the island that we'd all pile into the family
truckster
hall there. And, We go watch kart races.
Right, right.
Which eventually, turned into car racing because drag racing or whatever. So
Yeah,
let's face it, it's one of them gateway.
Yeah, it is.
Gateway pursuits there.
Absolutely.
I'm not going to use the D word.
And I tell you this, I did drive not a full-on race kart, but it was a race kart that had been detuned. And even that, when you sit an inch and change off the ground.
Yes.
With these little, these fat little tires and steering that's like a go-kart.
Right.
You ride that thing, man, you know, 20 miles an hour feels like 80 miles an hour. Well,
that's like I was saying, you know, like getting hooked up to your creeper, you know what I mean? It's,
yeah.
It's the same thing. It's
oof.
And, you know, they required some skill because there's no suspension. It's pretty much you are connected in a very direct way to the ground,
yeah,
to the vehicle. There's little to no linkages. There's no steering box.
Right.
There's no differential. There's none of that stuff.
Yeah, the steering rod comes down to a Heim joint. That just goes.
Yeah,
right,
pretty
left.
Much. Yeah. That's it. You know,
but it's direct. I mean, it's like you talk about.
Yeah. Oh, it's absolutely cool. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you know, you need the reflexes and the strength and the concentration. I mean,
of an 18-year-old.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I sat in it a few times, and all I just said is, I got to go pee.
Well, that's why. Yeah, I'm curious to talk to Rusty to see, how he. There's an article. I think I sent you the link to it. If not, I certainly
will.
Yeah,
you did.
Yeah, he. But I want to know firsthand now. What was it like for a guy who did this in the past? Because like ourselves, Joe, we did a lot of things back in the day. To revisit it some...
And we're still here!
Yeah, but to revisit it some 40 years later or so and do it again. And, you know, and it could be something like skiing or surfing, if you were into that, or even rollerblading.
Muscle memory.
Hockey. But, you know, whatever it is. But now to do it like 40 years later or more...
Mm-hmm.
When you haven't done it for a long time, yeah, your brain says, oh, yeah, I remember how to do this, but you try to make the move, like, why didn't my leg go that way? Well, why did my leg go the other way?
Well, why did it make that snapping sound?
Why is my knee around my ear?
And,
oh, oops.
And Jim just pointed out that every Formula One driver got their start in go-karts.
Many of them did, that's right.
Yeah. Yeah,
a lot of NASCAR guys, too, I've heard stories that they did a lot of karting. Because they start them when they're, like, you know, 3, 4, 5 years old.
Yeah, I saw the legend of Ricky Bobby. I know how that works.
Absolutely.
If you're not first, you're last.
That's right. You got that right.
Yes. I wanted to name my kids Walker and Texas Rangers, but my wife said, well, you stupid.
Yeah.
Besides, what, do you think you're a hick or something?
Yeah, right, right.
So,
oh, we live on a hill.
Yeah, but nobody in the house was named William.
Yeah,
so.
There you go. Absolutely.
So, all right, so Mark Gorman, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, season 10 of Graveyard Cars started this past Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a good one. He kicked it off great, like Cliff said. He's got a couple little personnel change on the show. Dave Ray is off the show. He went and pursued his own company, his own restoration company. And cousin Dougie has taken a bigger role. And I see that Chrome Dome is back. That's what Mark affectionately calls his childhood friend.
Right.
Oh Christ, what's his name? I'm blanking out. If you watch the show.
I haven't recorded. I haven't watched them yet. So yeah.
And his daughter Alyssa was on the show. She did some stuff. She was, Mark was showing her the dashboard machine. He was explaining to her on everything on the front of the dashboard. Well, he went in and he showed her the tick-tock tack. You know, Chrysler did that. It was the inner ring was the clock and the outer ring was the tack. And she's like, why would they do that? Like, that's kind of stupid. She goes, there's a place over here they could have put the clock. And he's like, no, you don't get it. And she's like,
it's cool.
No, I guess I don't. And truthfully, it is a little confusing to look at.
Yeah, right, exactly. Well, she probably was eating different mushrooms than those people back in the 70s.
Well, she wasn't born at that time. But anyway, so, he was trying to show her the interface, how when we power this up and throw this switch and you want to see what the fuel level is, over here in the back is the actual float unit.
Yeah, that's kind of cool. I mean, he could, like you said, he could have cheated and used the rheostat.
But that's
I have a drawer in my box with different resistors that over the years I've looked up, GM half tank,
right.
GM, cold, GM hot, for temperature center, whatever.
Sure.
But just kind of plug it in. But the whole sending unit thing is kind of cool.
Yeah. It definitely, it's representative of what you see in the car, of course.
Right.
And he worked something up for the temperature sender. I forget exactly what it was, but it was kind of a cool thing. I forgot how he did it, but I don't remember now. But it was all everything.
Does it involve fire?
And he actually had
boiling water.
He actually had a Mopar distributor off to the side,
right?
That I guess is it had to be a tack drive distributor because he had the speedo working. When
right.
He had the distributor went through the table, and on the bottom he had a battery powered drill. And he told her, okay, now you watch the speedometer, and he's hitting the drill, and she goes like, 10, 20, 30, and he got it up to like I think 40, 50 miles an hour. He goes, that's as fast as the drill will go.
Right.
But he did show that the thing had you could sweep.
Had connection, yeah. It was
and so you had to be, yeah, well, with the speedo, it was just a cable. I'm sorry, tack drive, I'm thinking distributor.
Right. No. The scary part is I knew what you meant.
I know, you, yeah, I know.
And you know what it is? The scary part is this plot probably a bunch of listeners who also know what right. you meant, so he did it's
have,
okay.
He did have the tack work, but I think he probably did that electronically through the distributor, just took it off the, you know, took the
Yeah, it's a mechanical drive, and you know what? It makes sense, and you can see it in action, because right. trying to do some of this stuff in the car, I can tell you from personal experience, is not a lot of fun.
No.
So having a test board set up is the way to fly, especially if you're doing a lot of the same type of vehicles.
Oh, absolutely.
You know what I mean? Like, you know, that's one thing about dealership work is that you see the same type of car, you know where everything is, what color Y is, how, right. what type of signal.
Right.
Yeah, but that test board, you know, now I got to go back. Now I got to watch that one.
Yeah. No, you'll enjoy
sure,
it.
Sure, make me stay awake.
I know, right? Well, now you can watch it at your leisure. But I tell you what, for now, we are going to go get the heck out of here. Kim is coming in with Thunder Road.
As always.
And good to see her back again. And we'll be back.
Yes, we missed you, Kim.
We missed you, too.
With Mark Woman on 90.3
WHPC.
See ya.